Hey guys, it's Yaya Diamond, and I'm so very excited to be here today. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, I feel so smart because I have my baby Yoda. I have my baby Yoda on because, you know, we have an author on the show today, and I want to seem very intelligent and smart and intellectual. Yeah. I don't know if it's working. But anyway, it doesn't matter because I have my amazing guest on the show today, and I'm just so excited to have her. She's written a book, and I can't wait to see what she's got to say about her book. There's just so many different people out there that have written so many books and put so much of their heart and soul into the writings that they're doing. I absolutely love it. Welcome to the show, Lynette. How are you?
I'm fine, Yaya. How are you?
Oh, girlfriend, I'm doing good. I'm hanging in there.
Good, good.
I'm trying to get my baby Yoda on.
Go for it. Where's your green?
Oh.
Applause.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, I think it's so appropriate that your name is Yaya Diamond and that we're doing this interview because my book is all about diamonds.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, I like diamonds.
Me too. Who doesn't?
They're a girl's best friend from what I hear.
That's what I've heard too. So
we need more of those.
Yeah. But it's all about diamonds and you know, murder and all of that. So it's really intense.
Oh my gosh.
And two women.
Oh, and
so here we are.
Okay. Oh goodness. Okay. We gotta get into this. Before we do. Okay. I wanted to find out more about you. How did you begin writing? What prompted you to prompt a book?
You know, I started reading really in fourth grade, and I didn't stop. And I read murder mysteries. Mm. And then I moved into romance. And then I moved into Michael Crichton, and I just evolved into different things. And I decided, I really like Alfred Hitchcock. Mm. And he was great at suspense and romance, coupling them together. Mm-hmm. And it became my thing. And that's how this book is kind of carved out. It's really murder, mystery, drama, suspense, and romance. Mm. So it's really kind of how I see it. It's also, I see your face.
That's something yes.
You know, and the thing is, people say to me, you wrote this, and are you okay? Yeah, and the answer is yes, I'm okay. It's just my imagination. It's kind of how I roll. And once I get started, I just don't stop. I can write morning, noon, and night. Mm. And then I can't pull an all-nighter. I have to go to bed at some point. I have to, because I start seeing colors. Ooh. But I can't do it all night. Going back to your question about how I got started, that's really how I got started as far as just reading all the time and reading what I liked. And then it evolved into what I like to write. So this is where the icing on the cake came from.
Nice. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. All right. So, there's just so many different people. You follow CPC colors. You say you see colors. I don't understand that. Yeah. So, explain that to me.
Well, I don't see colors when I fall asleep. It's when I know I'm getting sleepy.
Oh.
If I've been writing, I've been at the computer like all day and into the evening, I start seeing colors, and then I know it's like, okay, you have to stop.
Oh,
and then
then
what I do is, because I know I'm not going to remember where I'm going the next day, mm-hmm. I just make bullet points on a pad so I can know where I'm going and start again the next day.
Right.
That's a process. It's a process.
Yeah. You have to have a process.
And everybody's process is different.
Yeah. So what is your process?
Just, You know, when I started writing The Icing on the Cake, it was not called The Icing on the Cake. I had written a synopsis, and it was called Alaska Man. And when I started writing, I realized I was bored with it. So if I'm bored, then you're going to be bored. The audience is going to be bored. And so I decided, I'm going to tuck that away for a moment. I'm going to just keep writing. And or actually, I just changed, kind of directions and started writing differently. And then as I kept going, I realized, okay, she can't go from Oakland to Alaska with what I just did. There's something in the story where, it's like, okay, I don't want to change this. So it's not going to be Alaska Man anymore. It's going to be something else, but I don't know what it is yet. Let me just keep writing because you should not stop at just trying to come up with a title. Just keep writing and the title will come to you.
That's interesting. That is,
That's just
people don't
the
realize
process.
that. But that
Yeah, just
people
keep
don't realize
writing.
that. Just keep writing. Should okay, so in other words, if you have a story, not necessarily do you have to come up with the title in the beginning.
That's correct. That's truly what I believe. I think, you can have a working title, which that you just are working on. This is the working title, but it can change easily. So, that's it's a process. Once you realize it's not going to work, forget about it, move on, keep writing, and it will come to you.
In the very top corner of the screen, I do have the QR code for the Amazon link that you can go to if you have your phone. You can just go ahead and just take a picture of that or just, photo and it'll take you, just click on the link, it'll take you straight there.
Thank you.
I no problem. I think that what was so interesting about your story is that you said, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that you stopped reading when you started writing.
Yes.
So you don't read?
I stopped. Yeah, no, the answer is no, I don't read. I had to stop because I really didn't want any outside influences in my thinking, in my process. I don't want to copy someone else. I want it to be all me. I just stopped. And I used to read literally, I always had a book. I always read. And I just, I'm very creative in my own thinking. And so I have to go with that, but I just don't want the outside influence because there's no, I just don't want to copy.
I
And
got you.
sometimes it can work against you. But like I said, I also think I'm creative enough to handle the challenge myself and move forward. This book is nonstop. And I did that on purpose. I don't like that lag time. I like to cut to the chase. And one of the things that people say to me is when they've read it, they say, I couldn't stop turning the page. That's what I want. I want you to, you can't put it down. You have to turn the page. You're compelled to turn the page. And it's really a short read. It's a fast read. It will take you about 2 hours, if you don't get interrupted, of course.
Of course.
And it's it, I did it on purpose. I don't like that lag time.
You just want in and out, done. Just
Yes.
finish it. Get to
Get
the point.
it done. Yeah.
Get to the point.
Get to the point.
I would
Get cut
love
to
to
the
get to the point.
chase.
I would love for you to read a little bit out of your book. Are you able to do that today?
I am. When do you want me to do that?
Now.
Okay, let's. I'm gonna go at the beginning. I don't know how long you want me to read, but I'm gonna go from the beginning because the
We just need like
beginning.
just
What's that?
a little bit of taste to tail, like what is it? Like give us and then leave us hanging.
You got it.
I love that because then that makes me want to go and find out more.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get it going. Ice, aka diamonds, to be iced, aka to be killed. The icing on the cake, aka to get a little more than you bargained for. A large square of black velvet, exquisite diamonds fall together. Lovey, a sexy, hardened woman, smokes a cigarette. She brushes her bright red nailed fingers over the stones. John Abrams, a very plain looking guy, looks on from behind the counter. Abrams, flawless. Abrams folds the diamonds in the velvet wrap. Door loudly opens. Abrams and Lovey's head snap to see Cynthia Eastman, a very attractive, long-legged beauty in a business suit, quickly enter and rush to the counter. Cynthia, no matter what, I need to go first. She smiles sweetly and turns her attention to Abrams while she searches her purse. Lovey takes a long drag from her cigarette and blows it towards Cynthia, who wrinkles her nose. Cynthia, I dropped off a watch a few days ago. She places the ticket on the counter. It's under Cynthia Eastman. Abrams picks up the ticket. Abrams, you're going to have to wait until my brother returns. He stepped out. Cynthia, damn it. I don't have time. She's exasperated, takes a deep breath, and searches her purse and removes a business card. Lovey exhales a cloud of smoke. Cynthia, can you put that out? Look, here's my card. Lovey takes another drag from her cigarette and blows the smoke towards Cynthia. Ignoring her, Cynthia hands Abrams the card. Cynthia, tell him to call me ASAP. I'll return this evening and my watch must be ready. She glares at Lovey as she exits. Abrams shoves the wrapped diamonds in his pocket and reaches under the counter, removes the videotape from the VCR, and they exit. The door slowly creaks, then slams. A teary-eyed Bette Johnson, 8 months pregnant, sits uncomfortably on the sofa. On TV, a nature show discusses animal habitat in the mountains during the winter's snow. Bette wearily takes a tissue from the box, blows her nose, and lays her head back. Flashback. Jazz music, smothered conversation, background party sounds. Bette and her husband, Steve, handsome, narcissistic, arrive at the front door. Johnson presses the doorbell and adjusts his tie. How's my tie? Bette, it's fine, honey. Stop messing with it. Why are you so fidgety? It's me that should be worried. I haven't been in the office since I started the show. Johnson looks slightly disgusted by his wife's appearance, then quickly recovers. He takes her hand and kisses it. Honey, you are the most beautiful pregnant woman I've ever seen. Bette smiles. The door opens abruptly. Ellen Rasmussen, red hair, drink in hand, greets them excitedly. Hey, you two. Ellen stares in amazement at Bette's stomach. When did all this happen? Steve, you didn't tell us, you sly dog. Bette looks at Johnson, puzzled as they enter. Johnson and Bette follow Ellen. Bette whispers to Johnson, you didn't tell anyone? Honey, you said you didn't want anyone to want me to tell anyone yet. I said the first few months. It's 8. Johnson opens his mouth to speak. Welcoming voices in the crowd of people interrupts him. Gavin Rasmussen, a gruff, balding man, shakes Johnson's hand, then hugs Bette. Gavin, Bette, this man knows how to keep a secret. Boy or girl? I think as a boy, you know, a chip off the old block, but we don't know for sure. Bette wants it to be a surprise. Gavin, well, Bette, you must be proud of this one. It's not every day someone in my firm makes senior VP. What? When? Johnson fidgets. I wanted to surprise you here at the party, honey. Gavin, tough guy, holding something like that for 2 weeks. I'm telling you, he knows how to keep a secret. Other people join them. Man, okay, Steve. Man, what took you so long to get here? Bette, how are you? He sees Bette's stomach. Well, I guess I don't have to ask. Hey, big guy, you've been busy, huh? Johnson and Bette enter as another man approaches. Johnson and the man shake hands. Mob of people, all of them are shocked and amazed that she's been pregnant for so long without their knowledge. Cynthia Eastman, in a slinky outfit, sashays over to them. She gazes at Johnson. There you are. Johnson fidgets. Silly boy, you must be Steve's little missus. I'm Cynthia Eastman, Vice President of Corporate Legal Affairs. Cynthia extends a hand. Bet does the same. I'm pleased to meet. Charmed. Oh, Steve, she's sweet. Cynthia looks at Bet's tummy and takes a sip from her martini glass. My, you are pregnant, aren't you? 8 months. So, Steve, when were you going to tell me, and the rest of the office? Johnson fidgets. I told Steve to keep it quiet during the first few months. There were some problems and we wanted to make sure I could carry to term. I guess Steve got a little carried away with. Yeah, Steve, some of the team from New York office and Chicago and Dallas are here. Johnson, great. I have to mingle a little. I won't be far. Sharon Connors, a pretty stout woman, approaches Bet. Sharon, Bet, dear, it's been ages. You look great. 7 or 8 months. 8, how did you know? Bet watches Cynthia, who walks off talking with Johnson. Cynthia puts her arm through Johnson's as she introduces him to a few people. Sharon takes Bet by the hand. Sharon, two of my own. Sharon takes Bet to a spread of artistically arranged food. Bet, how do you decide? Bet sees Johnson speaking with several people. Cynthia is next to him. She puts her hand on Johnson's chest and admiringly looks up at him. Sharon distracts Bet with the plate. Sharon, let's move right to the salmon, chicken, and veggie platters. We'll get you some punch and you'll be set. Bet, I'd rather have a little ginger ale. Sharon and Bet enter the dining room. Bet takes a seat. Sharon, back in a moment with the ginger ale. Two women with plates join Bet, who's nibbling. How far along are you? 8 months. I'm 4, and all I do is eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. Every now and then I get nauseous, but not too bad. Bet, speaking of the bathroom, where is it? They laugh. There are 3 down here, 4 upstairs, but don't get your hopes up. They're constantly in use. The two women snicker. Bet looks around for Johnson. He's on the other side of the room. Cynthia retouches her lipstick, looks at Johnson, and licks her lips seductively. Johnson smiles, then continues his conversation. Bet walks across the room to Johnson. A couple exit the bathroom laughing. Bet continues toward Johnson. Cynthia sees Bet and coolly slides her hand from Johnson's arm. Bet works her way into the small space on the other side of Johnson. He casually puts his arm around Bet. Cynthia takes several nervous sips of martini. Later, Bet sleeps in a comfortable chair. She wakes, speaks to Sharon, who points upstairs, then wearily climbs the stairs. Sharon smugly observes. Bet locates a plush bathroom, then pauses. At a distance, there are voices. She approaches a slightly open door. A man and a woman talk quietly. She pushes the door just enough to see. Johnson's back is against the wall with his hands at his ankles. Cynthia is on her knees. Should I stop there?
Oh, goodness.
I think I better stop right there.
Oh, goodness. Oh, wow.
But you know what I could do is skip ahead.
No, actually... no, no more. Don't do it. They got to get the book. Oh, goodness.
It really takes off from there.
Girlfriend, let me tell you. I mean, do you ever Anyway, the visual. Okay. Anyway, so no. Do you ever it sounds like you're very proficient in your writing. Do you ever get writer's block or anything like that?
You know, as I got to the end of the book, I got to the end of the book, and at the time I was married, my husband passed away 9 years ago. And at the time I was married, and I kept walking around the apartment saying, I have to have another killing. And, you know, I kept saying that. I would walk around because I couldn't, I needed something. I said, I have to have another killing. And I kept walking around saying that. And then my husband finally said, kill somebody already. And, you know, because that was the only time I really, during this process for this book, it's the only time I had a writer's block. It probably went on for like a week and a half. Mm-hmm. And, but I wanted to come up with the perfect killing. Mm. And it finally worked itself out. It just happened, you know, wow. It just happened. That's kind of how it works a lot. I mean, but that's during this book, that's really the only time it happened.
Wow. You said that you don't read anymore, or that you don't read while you're writing. I'm not really sure which one it is.
I don't read anymore.
But when you did read, pick like your favorite person that you've patterned yourself after. I mean, not like pattern, like, okay, I got this. I'm just going, but someone that you admire so much that you try to find some kind of inspiration within the writings and the readings that you've already done and to incorporate it, or just to give you that idea or that inspiration on your own books.
Alfred Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. I grew up reading Alfred Hitchcock a lot and watching his movies and love his movies. And his movies are very much like what I did here, which is the audience knows whodunit, right? Mm. And I say whodunit on purpose. The audience knows whodunit, but it's the journey of them, the characters figuring out whodunit.
Ah.
And it's that intensity of, you know, it's kind of that thing where you go, no, don't go in there. Don't go in there. Oh, they go in there. And then they go in there. You know, it's that kind of thing, you know.
Don't say that, because what goes through my head at that moment is, it's not good. It's not good. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's that kind of thing. That's kind of how I, see it in this book anyway. Mm-hmm. Maybe not all the time, but in this book, it's all about moving, watching the characters go through the process of getting to the end result. Mm-hmm. And you're going on that journey because you can't help but go on the journey. Right. You just can't help it. And the same thing I feel about an Alfred Hitchcock movie. You may know whodunit, but it's you got to get there. Mm. You know, what are they going to do about it? How right. are they going to get to that end result and get away?
Right. That's the big thing. And get away.
Is somebody going to get away with something? You know, yeah. The other person I kind of follow is, well, you know, certain romance novels, which I haven't read in a long time, but I, you know, Jackie Collins had a character named Lucky Santangelo, and I really liked that character. It was she was this tough Italian woman who was, you know, badass, and you know, not that these characters are necessarily modeled after her, but I needed them. Even, you know, you think that, you know, Lovey's badass. She's evil. She's just plain badass. Bet is smart, you know, nice, you think, but she's got some things going on that don't come out right away. You know, along the way, you kind of start learning a little more about Bet, who's got some things happening and some, you know, some skeletons in the closet that, you know, oh, hey, Bet, wait. So, you know, I had this thing, you know, I had the devil on one side, the angel on one side, and I actually needed them to merge a little bit.
Mm.
So that's kind of...
They merged. Home
they did.
And Solomon got his ankles. Yeah, they merged.
I know you're going to be like, oh my God, I can't get that picture out of my head. I know.
I got it in my head right now. I'm telling you, they merged.
But it's true. You kind of, I want things to stay focused and to make the reader read, you know, keep going.
Wow.
Don't stop. And can't wait to get, you know, when you get to the end, you want more.
Right.
Which I've also heard people say, you know, people have said that to me. Wait, you got to write more. You
know? And will you be writing more?
My plan is, I do have a sequel in my head.
Uh-huh.
Not the whole thing, but the start of it. And it's actually quite scary. Mm. The opening is very scary. And so you have to, but at the same time, when I do write the sequel has to top this one, right? I don't want to write a sequel, you know, because sometimes sequels don't, you know, they get out there and you go, oh, it's not as good as the first one. I don't want that. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I need it to be better,
uh-huh.
You know, and more fierce, you know, even more fierce. And, you know, I put a lot of, like in this book, in The Icing on the Cake, there's pieces of me in the book,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, go into my Southern roots. I'm from North Carolina and was born there, but lived in California, Northern California, most of my life, pretty much all of my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I still remember things that, you know, and there's things that I do that I incorporated in the book. And in fact, one of the things, let me show you now. I don't know if you can see me. Can you see
me? Yes.
Okay. So there's one thing that I do in the book that's totally me. And I took it to a different level. And when I talk to people a lot, I'll do this and I'll just start doing my finger like this when I'm talking. And I don't know if you remember in the book, but she writes in the air.
Oh, goodness.
And I did this. I said, okay, this is a crazy moment. This is going to make her really seem crazy. She writes in the air and that's her way of not putting it on a notepad. She just writes it in the air. And then she's like, okay, I got it now.
Oh, wow.
So that's a little, I took that little thing and incorporated it into the book, but made it a crazy moment.
Wow. Well, then people are going to have to go and definitely read it and get it. The QR code again is in the top corner over there by the author Lynette Saunders Alexander. She's the writer of The Icing on the Cake, which you already got a little taste of, and apparently someone else did too.
love it.
Imagination. I tell you, you know, it is an amazing thing. I love the creativity that it takes to be an author and to keep that flowing and always be in that mode, especially when you're in the process of writing. What kind of advice do you give to authors, you know, that are coming up or people who just want to get this book out of their head? What do you tell them?
You know, I think everybody can be a writer. It's a matter of putting pen to paper. It's hard to stay with it. It is hard to stay with it. One thing I do tell people is to learn English. It will help you immensely. I was very much an English person. I was very much into English. And people will not read you if you can't spell or if they have to figure out what you're talking about. They just won't read it. They'll put it to the side and say, I don't understand. And so English really helps. You know, there was one guy, he wanted me to read his script and I started reading it and I said, I got to page 3 and I said, I'm correcting a paper. I'm not reading.
Mm.
So English really does help. But you have to, you know, maybe do an outline. You know, sometimes that helps people to do an outline of what you want to, or of the picture you want to paint. Mm-hmm. And that way you can follow that. You can deviate from it when you start writing, but you have some kind of outline to kind of go by. Right. Now, I don't necessarily do that. I might start with a synopsis, mm-hmm. but for some people an outline helps. With me, I just start writing and see where it takes me, because I will go in different directions depending on how I work it. Now, that's not to say that with the next book, I won't do that, because this one's going to be more difficult because it's the second book, and I definitely want it to be better than the first book.
Yeah.
And maybe more scary, more suspenseful. I don't want it to be like the first book at all. I want it to be completely different. But, you know, the characters would be there. Mm-hmm. And, but that's really my best advice, is to get started writing, put pen to paper, do an outline if you need to, write out your thoughts. I'm a very fast typist when I'm thinking. I type over 100 words a minute. I type as fast as I think. And, but you know, I don't type that fast when I have to do a typing test. So not even close. But when I'm just thinking about what I'm typing, I just go, and it works for me. Mm-hmm. But you have to find what works for you too, right? It's everybody has their own process. It is all about finding your way. But don't sit back and don't do anything. You just have to find your way. And also just do it. Get started. Yeah. You know, it's a matter of if you have an idea in your head, it's all about the germ of an idea, mm-hmm. right? You have the germ of an idea, and then you start building on that and building on that. And it just, the juices start flowing, and then you, all of a sudden you have 2 chapters, 3 chapters. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Wow. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Lynette, for being on the show. I truly appreciate it. It's been nothing but a pleasure to have you. You thank left you. Us with a cliffhanger.
There's a lot going on.
I have to, okay. I'm trying to get that out of my head. A cliffhanger is definitely something that we can all agree on.
Yeah, I do suggest cold water while drinking.
Whew, okay.
There's a lot going on in this book.
Oh, it seems like it just started out like really normal, and all of a sudden it was like she's pregnant, and all of a sudden you open the door and it's like, and she's getting pregnant. Okay.
I love it.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. We have the QR code over there in Lynette's corner. It's up there.
And
we
thank you, Yaya.
No problem. Down below, we also have the link, so you can go ahead and get that. And if you're a part of my Amazon Fire book club, it will be in the book club today. And so that way you can grab it however and whatever is easiest for you. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's just been such a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to have an author on the show and to inspire you to go after your dreams. If you want to write a book, then just start. I mean, there's so many different advices here. I mean, you know, at this point in time, it's just you don't want to write the book if you ain't writing the book.
Absolutely.
You can have people with their pants down to their ankles in your book too. I mean, you know, if you want to.
Run with that. Well, don't run. Don't run with your pants. Yeah, you can't.
I don't think he can run. I don't think he'll be able to run. But you can kind of scoot.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to stop. All right. I'm done. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to dare to be different. Keep your pants up. Okay, bye.